There's power in Jesus' name today. Amen. It'll set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever has you bound, the name of Jesus can set you free from it today. Praise God. We want to take a prayer request before the Lord. John Abel, correct? John Abel, friend, brother-in-law of Bob's, is on life support, and they're not expecting him to live, but we know a God that is able to intervene in this man's life, and I'm going to believe God that he's going to send angels to him right now in the name of Jesus and raise him out of that death situation, because God is the giver of life. Let's pray. If you can, gather around Brother Bob and just let's lift John Abel up right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus, the name that is higher than any other name, God, to go to this man in Jesus' name and heal his body. What the world says is impossibility. God, we're calling upon the name that is above every name over John Abel right now. And we're asking you to raise this man up, oh God, to heal his body in the name of Jesus. God, to set him free from whatever has him bound in that affliction in the name of Jesus. Send angels to minister to him. Lord, we believe in the power of the prayers of the people of God in the name of Jesus. Let your healing go to this man. Let strength come into his body right now in Jesus' name. Heal him completely, Lord. Make him whole in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you are doing right now. Hallelujah. You are marvelous. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is great. Praise God. I'm believing for a good report in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 24, 46 through 49. While you're turning there, I'm going to be speaking out of the NIV mostly today, but just follow along in your whatever translation you have. It's real close. But I want to wish every mother here Happy Mother's Day. Thank God for our wonderful mothers. Amen. Luke 24, 46 through 49. Excuse me. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Thank God for that. Beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Amen. Praise God. I want to speak to us today about Jesus' plan for evangelism. Hallelujah. I love to preach about evangelism. Amen. Because if it's Jesus' plan, that's what I want to be doing. Amen. I pray that's your prayer. God, we do pray that. We pray, God, I want to be like you. Amen. Well, Jesus' life here on earth was all about evangelizing the lost, hunger to save the ones that are not where they need to be, amen, in relationship with Jesus Christ. So you may be seated today. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. Amen. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the answer to your life. Amen. Amen. We search and we look and we try to replace God with everything else our flesh desires. Amen. There's a longing in man for to be satisfied, to be filled, to be ministered to. And we try so many times, and sometimes it just is natural because we don't know anything else. We allow the things of the world to take the place that Jesus Christ wants to be in your life. Amen. He is the one that can only give peace. Amen. Drugs can't give you peace. Sex can't give you peace. All the things that we experience in life, alcoholism, can't give you peace. Amen. Great family doesn't give you peace. Jesus Christ is the only one that can fill the void that you are longing for, that you are searching for, that the only one that can satisfy and fill that longing. Amen. A relationship with Him. We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So His desire is all about the plan of salvation. Evangelism. His plan is to evangelize. You ought to be an evangelist. Everybody say amen. 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 It's not just the preacher's job to reach the lost. Amen. You are a child of God, and you are a minister, and you can reach lost people. Amen. Because you have a place in your life that no one else can reach the people that you are around. Amen. You are there. You are the one that God has sent and placed you where you are in your life right now, because there's somebody there that He wants to evangelize. Amen. He's placed an apostolic one God believer there so that you can preach the gospel to them. Amen. So that you can shine the light of truth into their life. So we often refer to this portion of Scripture as the Great Commission. And it is a Great Commission. This commission was for all believers to proclaim the good news of salvation to all people. There is no greater purpose expressed in Scripture for the church than for believers to evangelize and to disciple their world for Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come into the church, you become a disciple. That means a disciplined one. You may not have disciplines in the world, but when you come into the church, you begin to change your life. And you begin to discipline your life according to the Word of God. And then God's presence helps you and blesses you and enables you to do the things that you couldn't do before. Amen. How many remember when you were lost, when you didn't know this great plan of salvation, how hard of a struggle it was to not do what your flesh just did? Amen. It just come naturally. You were around it. You were inebriated in it. The culture was around you. Sin was a part of our lives. But until the light of the gospel shined to us from somebody evangelized you. Amen. You didn't just wake up one morning and boom, I got to go to church. Somebody started praying. Somebody started fasting. Somebody started believing God and calling upon the name of the Lord for your life. And God began to call you to Him. Amen. God, if you're here today, God has called you. Amen. It's no accident you come to church. Amen. You're being called by God. God is trying to say, hey, I want to enter and be a part of your life. I want to be what you need in your life. I want to be your friend. Amen. I don't want to just meet you on Sunday. I don't want to just meet you on Thursday. I want to come and be a part of your job. I want to come and be a part of your vacation. I want to come and be a part of all of your life. He wants to be a part of us. Amen. He wants to be in our lives. He wants to be there to protect us. He wants to be there to encourage us. He wants to be there to lift us up when we're down. That's the Savior that we're serving. Amen. So it's important that we get an understanding of His plan to evangelize. in all the Gospels, the commission was given to the disciples at Jerusalem immediately prior to Jesus' ascension. After he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. But before he left, some instructions with the disciples. In Matthew 28:19 through 20, it begins. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name." Amen. That right there is very important. It's not names. It's not titles. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus Christ. So that is very important. That's one of the instructions he told us, to be baptized in the name. And baptism is important. It's a part of that. You must be baptized. That's what brings the remission, the removal of the sin in your life. Amen. The blood. It brings the blood upon your life. Mark 16, 15 through 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." So everybody must believe. Amen. That's a given. That's you have to believe to be able to know that you're lost. Amen. That's first of all, you got to understand that, hey, there's a God that wants to come into my life. I believe that. But there's more that you must do for salvation. Amen. There's a process, a plan that God had laid out in his word for us to follow to assure salvation in our lives. Amen. It's more than just a mental thought process that you believe in God and therefore you are saved. No, that's the first thing, belief. The second thing is following the plan that he laid out in his word that he instructed his disciples to teach and preach. And when we follow those things, then we experience salvation. So the primary intent is to bring the gospel within reach of everyone. You have that ability. Amen. If you're not preaching the gospel today, you need to start. Amen. I could sit here and probably ask every one of you of who lives in a half mile radius of where you live. You have several people that you can preach the gospel to. Amen. We need to find a way to preach the plan of salvation to them. Every child of God must do his or her part for the Great Commission to become a reality. Amen. So many times on the job, I wonder sometimes, God, why did you bring me to this job? And just a few moments later, God will, you know, the other day the crane broke down, so we didn't have nothing to do. And normally we're all working all day long, no stops, no breaks, just work. And so there's no opportunity to talk to anybody. Well, we're standing there and we're just kind of hanging out, and the foreman says, "Hey, what kind of faith are you?" And I'm like, "Okay, God, I know now why you brought me here." Okay? Because he wants us to share the gospel, the plan of salvation with somebody, and he will make a way for that to happen. Are you willing, when that way presents itself, to be ready to preach the gospel to somebody? This gentleman just happens to live in Spencer. I'm like, God, you are in control. Amen. You're using me. You're blessing me. You're helping me to do your work. And I'm thankful that I'm here now. Amen. If we would just stop for a moment and look around, God is taking us places we don't understand why. Amen. It may not be the best place in the world to be, but God has you there because he's confident that you're able to do his work. Amen. He believes in you. He trusts you with his plan. The basic purpose of our existence must be to witness to all within our reach. Amen. Those with whom we work, those that are our neighbors, those that we meet traveling on the road. Amen. Just because you're on vacation doesn't take you away from the gospel. Amen. God has a plan. You're going there for a reason. Amen. There's no mistakes. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Amen. And so many times he takes us down roads and we don't understand why we're going this direction. Why is the road got to be blocked today? Because God has a plan. And that person that you're going to meet when you take that direction is the one that God has been calling. He's been reaching and he has called you to water or to plant or to do whatever in the process of reaching lost people there is. Amen. It's our job to just obey the word of the Lord and be ready instantly to teach and to help and minister to somebody. You don't know, the words you speak to somebody may be exactly what they're looking for. That moment in time, that moment in life that would help somebody turn their life to the greatest thing ever in their life. A relationship with Jesus Christ. So we know that the gospel is centered on Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Amen. We sing that song. Jesus, you're the center of it all. Is he center of your life right now? Amen. What is going on in your life? Is chaos ruling your world? If so, Jesus is probably not the center. Because every time he was involved in chaos, when the storms blew and the waves were raging, when Jesus was called upon, he said, peace, be still. And the storm stopped. Amen? We serve a great God. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first the importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. We have this promise. Amen. They preached the word of God. That's why it's important that we obey the apostles' doctrine. Not first church of whoever doctrine. Amen. God laid out his plan to the apostles. Amen. And we must line up with the word of God and find out exactly what did they preach. Because that is what Jesus told them to preach. Amen. And that is the gospel. So the requirements for converts is without faith in the deity of Jesus Christ, without faith in the work of Christ on the cross, and without faith in the forgiveness of sins, a person can receive no benefits from the cross. Amen. Don't let the cross be in vain today. Amen. What he did there can radically change the direction of your life. Amen. He did that for you. Amen. He saw you where you are right now when he went to the cross. You were on his mind. You were in his plan. He wants to save today. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to set you free from whatever binds you, from whatever keeps you doing the things that you do. God wants to intervene. Amen? And give you life. Give you salvation. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards them, that those that earnestly seek him." God will reward you when you want to know him. Amen. That takes effort. That takes doing something on my part. Amen. When I want to have more of God in my life, I will earnestly, diligently seek the Lord. And when he does that, he rewards. When we do that, he rewards us. Mark 16:16. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whosoever does not believe will be condemned." When I believe in Jesus Christ and I ask God to forgive me of my sins, the next step I need to do is to go find a man of God to take me down into a tank of water and baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ, so that every sin I've committed from this moment backwards is in God's eyes just as if it never happened. Every hurt, every shame, everything that you know and has been done to you, God forgives. He remits. He takes away through the blood of Jesus Christ. He makes it just as if you had never done it. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. And then he doesn't leave us there. He promises that he would fill us with his power. The Spirit of God comes inside of us, and we begin to, as when we know that we are filled with that Spirit, we begin to speak with other tongues as his Spirit gives utterance. Amen. It's a sign that the Holy Ghost is within us. Amen. And that's just the beginning to the greatness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not the end result, it's the beginning. It's the entrance into the kingdom of God. There's so many more things to see God do in our lives as we grow and we become discipled. So repentance includes not only confession of sins, but also the forsaking of sin. I believe that when you repent of your sins, you change your life. Amen? You don't go where you used to go. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't act the way you used to act. You desire to walk differently. Amen. It's a lifestyle change. It's saying, I am not going to be who I once was. I've told the story of my dad, drunken alcoholic, with go into bars with his buddies and just wreak havoc on the place, knock tables over, start fights, and just bust the plumbing out of the walls and just wreak havoc in the bar and pick up 24 cases of beer and walk out the door. A savage of a man. And my uncle told me that when God saved that man right there when he was dying in the hospital, my uncle told me that he says, when God saved that man right there, pointing to my dad, he said, he saved a whole lot of people's lives. Because their desire was just to just do what they wanted to do and let their flesh rule. But God, when God filled him with the Holy Ghost, when he repented of his sins and was baptized in Jesus' name, and he let the power of the Holy Ghost take control in his life, he stopped doing all of that stuff. He never touched another drop of alcohol. He never smoked another cigarette. He never went to see any movies. He changed his life because the Holy Ghost, the power of God was in him. And he began to preach the gospel to other people. Amen. That's what happened to Paul. Paul was doing all kinds of things, but when the Holy Ghost got a hold of him, it changed his life. And from that day forward, he began to preach the gospel. Amen. That's the transforming power of the Holy Ghost that each and every one of us must have. Amen? There's nothing like it. Baptism is more than an outward show of an inward experience. Amen? Without baptism, there is no remission of sins. You're a sinner until the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life. I don't care how good you are in this life. I don't care what, if you've done everything right. The Bible says that all was born into sin. The curse that was placed upon man when they sinned in the garden, that curse exists in every man's life. And the only way to take that curse away is through the blood. The plan of salvation that Jesus Christ laid out in his word. And when we do that, that curse is forgiven. It's taken away. And his spirit is able to come to us and have relationship with us. Amen? When you're away from God, it's because there's sin in your life. God can't have fellowship with sin. It's only when we repent. That's why if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, repentance is vital. You have to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. It's very easy to receive the Holy Ghost. Repentance is a vital part of that. Sincerely telling the Lord, I want to change. I am not happy the way I am. And I know that you have power to give me so that I can do what you call me to do. And when we begin to praise the Lord with our lips openly, the Holy Ghost comes in. When we allow our body, our most unruly member, the tongue. How many of you find it hard to control your tongue when somebody makes you mad? Or when the boss doesn't do what he says he's going to do? Or when your spouse tells you to do something and you don't like what she's telling you to do or he's telling you to do. It's your mouth just wants to speak something that's going to do some damage. That member, that part of your body pretty much rules your life. Amen? And when you surrender that to Jesus Christ, it's God then has control of your whole member. He gets the like an udder of a ship to control the big, huge, large body of ship. Amen. I want him to be in control over me. So I want to surrender to the power of the Holy Ghost. Colossians 2:11 through 12, it says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. God is in charge. Amen. And when we are baptized, we are dying and being buried with him in baptism. Amen. It's a new covenant that God has for us. In the old covenant, you had to be circumcised on the eighth day, literally. But this is a circumcision that takes place in the heart of our lives. Amen. 1 Peter 3:20 through 21 says, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's important. Baptism saves us. Amen. Baptism cleanses us from unrighteousness. And then in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the will of God for you to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. God wants it to happen. He will give you the power to do it. Amen. If you surrender to it. Amen. It's very simple. I surrender. My will wants to do things my way. My will wants to act the way I want to act. But when I can surrender, then God is in control. Amen. It's foolishness to man, because the Spirit's not leading you. Amen? But when the Spirit's in control, then God begins to reveal the truths of the Word of God to you through His Spirit. God wants to fill your soul with the Holy Ghost today. In Luke 24:49, He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Got to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the power that's going to give you the strength not to do what you used to do. Amen. When you stay full of His power, you don't do the things you used to do. The disciples were scaredy cats up until God filled them with the Holy Ghost. They couldn't even be with Him there when He died on the cross. They were afraid. They were scared to death. But a few moments, days later, after the day of Pentecost, they were preaching the Word of God. They didn't care who that was in front of them. They didn't care if you whipped their back. They didn't care if you were going to be thrown into prison. It didn't matter. They went into prison and preached. Because something gave them power at this moment. It was a miraculous, powerful thing that took place in their life. They had now power to do mighty exploits. Amen. God wants to give you power to go lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. That's not just for the preacher. That's not just for me. It's for everyone, whosoever will. Amen. God wants to use you if you'll allow His Spirit in you. There's no telling where God can take you and what you can accomplish by being surrendered to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there is a need for evangelism. Everyone outside of Christ is lost. Amen? I'm sorry if that hurts you this morning. But if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're lost, my friend. And when that trumpet sounds, or when your day comes, you're going to be lost. Amen. God has done everything that He can do as a Savior to give you His plan. It's totally up to you to say, I will adhere and listen and follow the plan of God for my life. Amen. He will never force himself upon you. He will never say, I'm gonna save you regardless of what you want to do. No. He wouldn't love you then. He loves you, and he did that already for you. All you have to do is say, I will follow his plan. It's that simple. He didn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want the millions out there that refuse to obey this simple gospel to go to hell. He did not want us for babies to be aborted. He did not want death to be in this earth. He did not want all the nasty things that happen in the earth because of sin. It wasn't his plan. His plan was for life, and he has given his life so that you can have life in Jesus Christ today. It's a plan he has given every one of us. And we must take this plan and share it once we have received it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, but by the grace of God, amen, it is his blood that has made me righteous. Not me, I'm a human. I have flesh and blood, amen. Without the Christ's blood applied to my life, I cannot be righteous. He makes me righteous when I surrender to him. Amen. That's how that I can live holy. That's how that I can live righteous, because I continually allow the fire of the Holy Ghost to be burning in me, just like the priest did. They were instructed to never let the fire go out on the altar. Amen. The same thing he said. We are, the Bible calls us holy priesthood, a royal nation. Amen. And we are in charge of the altar of our own lives to keep the fire burning. That's the Holy Ghost, the power of God burning in us. So when I sin, I need to say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. And the blood continually flows to my life, amen, and gives me the power to be righteous. I can't get good to get God. I got to get God, then he makes me good. Amen. He helps me to change. He helps me to walk different. He helps me to love. He helps me to do the things that I can't do on my own. That's why I need him. That's why he did what he did. That's why he spilled his own blood. Because he knew, I can give you the power if you'll follow me. I can give you miraculous power if you will surrender to it. Amen. That's a loving God. That's an awesome Savior. The effect of evangelism. Amen. Napoleon Bonaparte allegedly said, Alexander the Great and I have conquered by power of force, but the Nazarene has conquered more hearts through the power of love than Alexander and I have together ever conquered. To compare, you know, conquered. They conquered. Amen. Jesus Christ loved us and laid down his life for you and I. Amen. And it's drawing the heart, your heart today. The love of Jesus Christ is drawing you today. He's calling, saying, come on, let me in. Come on, you can do great exploits. Come on, let me be a part of your life. Amen. It's awesome to have the Creator of all things living literally on you, inside of you. Amen. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. Amen. When they realized that what Peter had preached to them, they had crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. They said, men and brethren, what must we do? How can we change what we did? We messed up. We crucified the King of glory. He said, here you go. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name and receive what we just received. the Holy Ghost with the evidence, speaking in other tongues. In Samaria, Acts 8:5-8, and then verse 12, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shriek, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Amen. Belief is important. Amen. But it's not the end. Amen. It's the beginning. You must believe. The Bible says that the devils believe. Amen. But they're definitely not going to heaven, because the Bible says God has prepared a place for them called hell because of their disobedience. But he has given us an opportunity today to be baptized and be cleansed from our disobedience. Amen. It's so easy to be in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's just a simple obedience and saying, yes, baptize me in Jesus' name. Take me to the water, preacher. Get me under the blood of Jesus Christ, because I am miserable without it. I am controlled by my life and all that I've done and all that I've messed up in. Let me be free from that. No longer God will hold it to your charge. He will cancel the debt by his blood. Now when he sees you, he sees his blood. When his name is applied to you in baptism, he doesn't see the acts of sin that you've done. You might remember them. You might bring them back up. But in God's eyes, you never did it. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer, you're a whatever, sex offender, whatever. If you will surrender to the blood of Jesus Christ, he'll forgive you. He'll set you free. Amen. Amen. And he don't leave you empty. Once you've repented and emptied yourself out, he won't leave you empty. He wants to put himself, his spirit inside of you. And you'll have power. Amen. You'll be empowered to do mighty exploits in the kingdom of God. God bless you. I'm done. Amen. Thank you. Take the gospel and preach it to others. Amen. It's